You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Send out your light and your truth that they may lead us and bring us to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. There are a lot of great movies about rescue, about saving someone. And one thing that many of these movies have in common is Matt Damon. Matt Damon gets lost all the time. Let me show you. Saving Private Ryan. Has anyone ever heard of Saving Private Ryan? Matt Damon is Private Ryan. The whole movie is about saving Matt Damon. He's in this movie called Gary, where he gets lost hiking with his friend Casey Affleck. So he's lost there again. The Martian, that's a big one. Matt Damon gets lost on Mars, and he has to grow potatoes in a really gross way. And the whole thing, they're trying to save Matt Damon. All the Pretty Horses, Matt Damon gets lost in Cormac McCarthy style down in Mexico. Interstellar, this is the big ticket lost. Matt Damon gets stranded on a planet that you literally have to go through a wormhole. You know, they did a wormhole. And most recently, Matt Damon is Odysseus in the Odyssey. And the whole thing is he's been shipwrecked and he is lost. Time magazine estimates that in these fictional worlds, $900 billion have been spent trying to save fictional Matt Damon. And we love him. We love Matt Damon. And I love a story about rescue. I was totally convinced that as a boy or as an adult, I was going to have to survive out on a desert island. I read a book called Hatchet. Has anyone read Hatchet before? Real ones, no. Yeah, Hatchet. It's about a boy who survives with a hatchet. That's it. That's the whole book. I watched Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. He's lost. And I thought, surely I have to refine my skills because one day I will be lost and I need to survive. But I was never lost like that. I have been lost in my life, but it's never as glamorous as going through a wormhole to a planet on the edge of the universe. It's a lot less dramatic than that. And I wonder, when was a time that you felt lost in your life? Maybe you put your foot in your mouth. You said that thing that no one should say, and all the air leaves the room. And then you try to double down. You try to be funny on it, and then you dig a little bit deeper, and you get lost in that conversation. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one who's done that before. We get lost when our experiences change, maybe when we go off to college, or maybe when our kids go off to college. Or after years of trying to make it work, this friendship or this relationship ends and it changes and it feels untethering and lost. Or maybe your job changes or you retire and this thing that meant so much to you all of a sudden is nothing. It doesn't affect your life at all anymore. You can feel lost. Maybe you lost something you really love, like your mother's wedding ring, and it's gone and now a piece of you feels like it's gone. Sometimes we literally don't know where we are going. I remember going on vacation when I was a kid, and we have to pull out a hard copy of a map and try to figure out how we were going to get to Florida from Texarkana. We feel lost when we lose hope, when we don't know what to look forward to anymore, but there's this buzzing anxiety that's just kind of right behind us. That can be a very unsettling feeling. And I feel lost most intimately when my relationships are affected. When I feel those fractures in relationships. And this can happen spiritually as well. Maybe you have questions for God. God, where were you? Why did that happen? Maybe you're mad at him. Maybe you have this shame that you carry and you don't even know what to do. You don't want to bring it to God. You're too ashamed to talk to God. Our passage in Romans reminds us that God will not abandon us. God brings rescue. God brings relief. God brings salvation. And we inhabit that salvation today through faith. Through faith. Okay, so Paul begins this passage in Romans 10 by riffing off of Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy is Moses' big, long, long, long sermon that he gives to the Israelites after they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're almost there. They're on the edge of the promised land. They're right on the river. And Moses gives them this long speech and recounts the history that has gone before and says, obey the law that God has given us. And if you obey the law, you will be blessed. And if you disobey the law, you will be cursed. He says, you know what's on the law. You don't have to go up to heaven to figure out what it is. You don't have to descend down to the depths to know what it is. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. So that's what Moses says. And Paul picks it up and he interprets it through the lens of the gospel. He inserts Jesus into this passage. And Paul says, Moses spoke of a righteousness that comes from the law. But in Jesus, righteousness comes through faith. And righteousness means justice, it means integrity, virtue, justification. It means that our relationships are put right. That's what righteousness means, right relationships. And the law does show us how to live in right relationships with others, but it doesn't change our hearts. It doesn't make us into the type of people that can live righteously with each other. It shines a flashlight on the fact that we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, that we have not loved God with our whole heart. We can't earn this righteousness on our own. The law shows us that we are lost in patterns of brokenness. And for many of us, we don't need a reminder that we are lost. We feel it. We carry it with us every day. But Paul reminds us that we don't have to earn this righteousness. Jesus is the one who fulfills the law, and he just gives it to us. He gives us that righteousness as a gift. And so Paul interprets Moses' speech through the lens of the gospel. We don't have to ascend to heaven to earn God's love. We don't have to work our way up to God's presence. We don't have to descend to the sea, to the abyss. We don't have to browbeat ourselves and give everything up to get to God. Jesus does it for us. Jesus is the one who comes and gives that righteousness to us. And he does it by descending. He comes down and he ascends into the human experience. He's born of Mary. He lives as a human. He experiences all of what it is like to be a human. And then he even goes lower than that. He descends to the cross and to the grave to bring justification, to make things right. He does it for you. And then he ascends. He raised from the grave, defeating death for all time. And then he ascends even higher. He goes up to the right hand of the Father. And there he is interceding for our behalf. We don't have to say who will go to heaven or who will go down to the abyss. We have someone who has done it for us, Jesus. And he gives us that righteousness as a gift. And then Paul says, the word is on our lips and in our hearts. Jesus is that word who comes to us. He comes near to us, and he keeps coming and coming and coming, even when we feel lost, even when our relationships fracture, even when we lose hope and life has not gone the way that we wanted it to or the way that we thought it would. Jesus comes to us even there. He's on our lips and in our heart, and Jesus brings rescue when we are lost. He brings redemption. He brings resurrection. He brings restoration. And then Paul says, if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him up from the dead, we will be saved. And sometimes when I read passages like this, I get a little anxious because I worry that my faith is not strong enough. I worry that I haven't had enough faith to make sure that I am saved, and I try to build it up inside of me. But whenever I get into this sort of anxious mindset, I am missing the point. The point is not that your faith is your punch card to get into heaven, so you go to the good place instead of the bad place. The whole point is that Jesus has done it. Jesus has saved you. I don't have to have faith that reaches up to the mountains. Jesus says all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed. That's enough. That's enough for him. Jesus is the one who does the heavy lifting, but salvation is realized in our life through faith. We inhabit it through faith. That's because the timing of salvation is interesting. It happened a long time ago. Jesus saves us 2,000 years ago on the cross and in his resurrection. But if you look around, That resurrected life is not fully realized in the world that we live in. There's still brokenness all around. But Jesus will bring that resurrected life to fulfillment. We talked a lot about that in Romans 8 just a couple weeks ago. That resurrected life will come about. All wrongs will be made right. Nothing beautiful will be lost. Our debts will be swallowed up in victory. But this is something that will happen. It's something that we look forward to in hope. And so salvation has already happened, and it's not yet happened. We're kind of in between these two moments, this already and this not yet. We're waiting for that fullness of salvation to come. But Jesus doesn't leave us to wait alone. The word is on our lips and in our hearts. Jesus comes near to us today, and faith is how we inhabit that salvation. It changes our heart. It shapes our emotions, our desires, and our actions. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that you have to work up in yourself and make sure that it is at the faith level to get you where you want to go. Here, faith is twofold. It is confessing with your lips and believing in your heart that Jesus has done it, that Jesus has overcome the world, that he brings salvation, that he will rescue us again. And so I want to end with kind of this way of thinking about salvation as confessing with our lips and believing in our hearts, this twofold way. So confessing with our lips means recounting and remembering what Jesus has done. Faith is remembering. It's remembering that Jesus is Lord and that he has raised from the dead. And if those two things are true, if that's true, everything is changed. Everything is changed. We have nothing to fear anymore. Our shame is put away. Death itself is defeated, and every wrong will be made right. We are brought into God's love if Jesus is Lord and that he is raised from the dead. And so confessing with our lips is just reminding ourselves of this truth, because it's so easy to forget when we feel lost. It's so easy to forget that Jesus has done it. And so we come together every week and we do this. And it's not just some solo project that you do in your room where you kind of just try to build up this faith in your heart. We come together and we gather every single week. And in just a few minutes, we are going to stand up and we're going to say the creed. And we're going to say, I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, and that on the third day he was raised again according to the scriptures. And then we're going to say, and I look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. We're going to confess with our lips. We're going to remind ourselves of the truth that Jesus has saved us. That is what it is. It's remembering. And then the second part, so that's confessing with your lips. The second part is believing in your heart. Believing in your heart means letting go. Faith is not clinching on tighter to this formulaic way of thinking. It's not clinching on tighter and holding on tighter. Faith is letting go and trusting in the work that Jesus has done. It's resting in his love for you. There's a beautiful example of this in our gospel reading. The disciples are on a boat. Jesus sends them to go to the other side, and he dismisses the crowd, and he goes and he prays by himself. And as this is happening, the wind blows in, the storm happens. The boat hasn't gotten even very far because of these choppy waves, and Jesus comes out to them in the middle of the sea. And they see him. They think a ghost is coming out. And Peter calls out, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the waves. And Jesus says, come. Peter gets out and he takes a step or two, but then he sees the wind and the waves and he begins to sink. And he says the most beautiful prayer. He says, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter. And he said, you of little faith. He doesn't wait until he has more faith. A little is enough. Jesus saves him. Faith is letting go and resting in the hand that pulls you out of whatever storm you are in. It's surrendering everything to God and trusting that Jesus is taking care of it, that we are secure in his love. And so no matter how lost you feel, no matter what storms are tossing you about right now, Jesus is near to you, and his work is not in vain. And faith is simply receiving with open arms this love of Christ that will not let us go, that keeps coming after us over and over and over again. And we trust and hope that at the last day, we will be raised. And so we say it every week in the creed, even when we don't feel like it, even when we have a hard time believing it, we say it together. We trust in him. we remember and we let go in faith that Jesus has found us again and he has overcome it all. He has overcome it all. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today and for your great love that will not let us go. We thank you that you find us when we are lost. We thank you that you have saved us and you will save us again. Give us faith that is just the size of a mustard seed. And let us inhabit that salvation today. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.